time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I wonder how many of you out there watching today, sports-loving guys like me, can admit this. For the first time in my life, I did not watch not one NCAA basketball game. None of them. From the very tip-off to the very end. Last night was the championship, Texas Tech and University of Virginia. Neither team had ever won a national championship, which was kind of good to see new teams in there. University of Virginia won in overtime, and I'm here to tell you today, a sports-loving guy like me, I did not watch not one NCAA basketball game all year. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing. I was kind of excited. I was hoping Texas Tech was going to win, because when I got sued by the ACLU and all that stuff back in the 1990s, I was coaching at a school called London High School, like London Bridge is falling down. London High School in Ohio, and they were the Red Raiders. We were the London Red Raiders. And as far as I know, Texas Tech is the only other Red Raiders in all of – there may be another one. I could be wrong.
Hey, Coach?
Yep.
I just realized possibly why they got rid of you is because you made your players a prey, and that way they probably couldn't be bought.
Well, I didn't make them pray, Vinny. I can't even make my own pray.
Right.
We left them in prayer. But anyway, so University of Virginia, I can't believe they never won with Ralph Sampson back in those glory days. And I bet you Thomas Jefferson is spiking the basketball today. Don't you suppose University of Virginia won their first ever national championship? But I'm most proud that I didn't watch not one second of it. Slept like a baby last night. Couldn't care less. You know what happens, folks? Those of you watching it before it's news.com, I know there's a lot of you that come across here. Probably wonder who this crazy guy is that comes on here every day. I thank Michael and the folks at Before It's News that they do stream our show live, streaming this morning as well. See, I had a heart change. And that's what a lot of you watching really don't even understand. Many don't understand. I guess I'm not talking just to people Before It's News, but anybody who's watching, if you ever take time to go down through the comment sections on our show, you'll find some people who are very, very lost. They're very, very lost. It's like, how do you explain, how do you explain being in love with somebody? Can you explain that? Somebody asked you, how do you know when you're in love? How do you explain that? You can't explain, right? Because you can't explain it. You just have to say, well, you'll know when it happens to you and try to make all excuses. There is no evidence that you are in love. It's something that happens inside of you. By the way, love can be, if we're not careful, very, very selfish. Loving of yourself. A lot of times we fall in love with another person because it makes us feel good. And really isn't much about them. It makes us feel good. And as you get older and mature, I finally reached a point in my life after 39 years of marriage. I really, thinking about this yesterday, I really love my wife more than I love me. I want you to think about that a second. If the choice came between Michelle giving up her life or me giving up my life, something happened that only one of us could live. We're in a situation with one of us could live. I'd let her live. That's selfishness. That's hard thing to overcome, boys and girls. Very, very hard. And the natural instinct to love yourself. The Bible says greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And so there are people who are watching right now, don't understand this, don't understand me, don't understand Christianity. They've been taught religion, just old dead religion. As I said, was saying to somebody the other day, maybe it was Todd, I don't remember who it was, that religion is the dead faith of those now living. Religion is dead faith. Religion is rules and regulations and guidelines and do's and don'ts. Can't do this, can't do that. Don't you read the signs? I have a song in my head for about everything I say. But Christianity is the living faith of those now dead. Well, isn't that a twist? The religion is what living people have for the most part. What religion? Rules and regulations, go to church, put a bun over your head and all that. That's religion, rules. But Christianity is the living faith of those now dead. In other words, it's been handed down to us from our generation. And somewhere along the line, our generation, mine in particular, we've dropped the ball. And so I'm not surprised with viewers at News with Views and other places, or I'm sorry, Sports News and other places like that, don't understand a guy like me. I understand the nasty emails they send me. And why do you spend so much time hating a God that you don't even believe exists? It's pretty amazing what they do. And what does it really bother them if some of us choose to want to worship a God, live our lives according to the edicts in the Bible? What does that bother people? I said, well, because you try to make everybody else do it. Well, no, it has to do with this. There are some things that are right and there's some things that are wrong. We cannot live in a culture, in a society where everyone does what's right in his own eyes. Murder can't be okay for you and not okay for me. Hating black people can't be okay for you and not okay for me. Whatever it is, it has to be a standard, right? If we could go back even to the idea, would America be better off today if there was no such thing as divorce? Well, right away, people respond, oh, are you kidding me? You mean I got to live with that man that beats on me? Well, see, you don't understand the depth of faith and what faith is supposed to be. That man's not supposed to beat on you. And if he was walking in the precepts and the edicts of the Lord, he wouldn't be beating on you. And if you look around, you think about any divorce that you see taking place, the truth of the matter is the divorce probably took place over selfishness. I wasn't happy. He bossed me. He did this. I did. It's selfishness is at the root of it. And something happens when you get married. The Bible says the two become one. It's hard to explain. And I can never understand this. When Michelle and I, when the Bible says that there's no marrying in heaven. Michelle and I aren't going to be married in heaven. Are you kidding me? Why do I want to go to heaven if I'm not going to be married to her? I want to be married to her. Now, the Mormons teach you married forever, eternal marriage. But see, it's a mystery. The Bible says the two become one. See, Michelle and I are one. I don't know how to explain it. We're one. But the Bible says. And so when you see Christians like us come along and you're watching, trying to figure out who we are, what we're about. Listen, folks, we just think that the society operates in a much better manner if every one of us are following the same set of rules and regulations. We call that ethics. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Ethics. What is the ethical standard? Listen, folks, you can't kill anybody because they make you uncomfortable. That's not okay. It's not okay. All right? So you can't kill a baby because it makes you uncomfortable. It's going to mess up your life. That's not okay. So what do? Well, you say it's not a baby. Not a baby. It's a blob of tissues. Because who cares about killing blobs of tissues? Who cares about, I go to the doctor. Not me. I know somebody just went to the doctor and had a growth taken out of their chest. It was a blob of tissue. Well, heck yeah. Let's get that thing out of there. I'm with you on that. A baby isn't a blob of tissues. That's why there's one of the most important things we could ever do is tell the truth. Thou shalt not lie. Why? Because lies bring deception. And Satan is the father of lies. And we're in this society and in this world, we are so screwed up because we have believed lies. They've told us that you're going to be happier if you kill your baby. You're going to feel better if you smoke some dope. You're going to be better if you take some drugs. You're going to feel better if you, even though you're married, you go out and you sleep around on your wife. You're going to be you. Jared, I'm in Isaiah 14. It's amazing how the Lord had me go right there today. Isaiah 14. We have to have some type of moral standard, see? The whole abortion debate, the whole one, and we got a lot of news on that. Boys and girls, we are building some momentum. We can't even imagine, as I've said over and over, ain't no reason we're losing this abortion debate. There isn't any reason we're losing all these, all right? There isn't any. But I want to take you right now to funny how the Holy Spirit just, man, when I came down, I tuned into this. I had no idea. Jude, I'm in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 14, verse 12. This is the heart of our problem, folks. Right here is the heart of our problem. All of our problems. Greater love. See, I hear the people who don't even know the Lord talk about love. Love trumps hate. They don't love. They don't even know what it means to love. Love trumps hate. Love trumps hate. Well, first of all, it doesn't always trump hate, right? God hates all workers of iniquity. You go through the Bible, seven things the Lord hates, they're an abomination to him. This Lord hates. Hate is a good, normal emotion that we have. It's the misapplication of hate, which is just as dangerous as the misapplication of love. They're not the same thing, okay? So verse 12. How art thou fallen, O Lucifer? I'm going to show you our problem. Excuse me. I had to click something on my computer. Slow me down. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Satan weakened the nations. Okay, here it is, folks. Here's the five I wills. This is what we're dealing with in every aspect of American life. You ready? Verse 13. For thou, speaking to Satan, have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. See, I'm going to be my own master. I'm going to be above God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the Lord. I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to rule and reign. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And by the way, isn't that what Satan said to Eve in the garden? Your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. That's what it says right here. I will be like the Most High. So the five I wills, there they are, right? I will ascend, I will exalt, I will sit, I will ascend, and I will be like. There it is. And that's exactly the problem we have. There is no restraints. And for some reason, I don't know what it is. Maybe someone else could explain it. The church has dropped the idea of restraint, teaching people to restrain themselves. My wife substitute teaches. She says she goes into the school and she can't believe little kids that are 6 and 7 and 8 years old, second, third, and fourth graders who have absolutely no restraint, no restraint at all in their lives, been taught no self-discipline, no restraint. Now, isn't that something common that we want taught in schools? Isn't that something we should be teaching? But no, we try to take them when they're, again, when they're in five years old and 6 years old, and seven, and go to the library and they have transgender reading. Because why? They want to feed into those desires, plant those desires into the child that they can't control, and say it's okay to be this and it's okay to be that and be whoever you are and feel whatever you feel. And if it feels good, do it. That is antithetical to Christ. All of that stuff has put us and given us the mess that we see around us today. All of it. And sadly, our only answer to this mess is religion. 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 I hear people, I got in trouble. I said, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to move on. I said the other day, no, it's been longer than that, in last winter. I've said it a number of times. Sometimes the word of God isn't enough. Sometimes it's not enough. Because here's what happens. I know this. When I start talking to people about God, or when I mention that J word, that Jesus word, la, 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 they don't hear another thing I say. They do not hear another thing I say. Well, let me tell you, brother, that Jesus, la, 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 la. That's what goes on. So we have to be smart enough to understand the secular battle and how every time, folks, there is not one battle that the secularists can win when we speak the truth. This whole abortion thing that's going on, the secularists, the God haters, the left, are winning the battle because we haven't engaged in it. That, what do they tell us? They tell us the baby's not a human being. What? We let them get away with that? We don't counter anything? We say it's just a blob of tissues? What?
We're busy, Coach.
And then they come out with a movie called Unplanned, which actually shows what an abortion is. And what do they want to do? Not make sure you're not allowed to see it. You're not allowed to see it. See, they're not open to truth, folks. They're not open to truth. And so we have to understand that they're not open to truth. And the greatest way to pierce their heart, I'm sorry to tell you this, is not with the word of God. The best way to pierce their heart is to penetrate their own lies with truth. Once they come to the realization that what they've been told is not true, then they are open. As soon as you bring up the name of Jesus, they don't even hear it. They don't even hear it because they associate with religion and phoniness. And y'all with me, right? Y'all with me. I don't know where that came from, but there you go. That's 15 minutes with it from my heart. Yeah, Vinny, R-rated movie. R-rated movie. I remember when R-rated movies meant something, don't you? Remember that? PG, PG-13. Remember when parents were actually parents? Remember when there was actually a standard of righteousness? You remember that? You didn't have to follow it. You didn't have to be a Christian. You didn't have to be a Christian to do what's right, but somebody's better first determine what's right. And killing a baby ain't right. And one woman says, it's my body, it's my choice. It's not. That's the five I wills. No, it isn't. It isn't your body, and it isn't your choice. It isn't. You think it's your body, then when death comes knocking on your door, you're going to find out how much that in your body, how much you really don't control that.
Yeah, because it's a separate entity altogether. It's 23 chromosomes from you and 23 chromosomes from someone else. It's your body. It's ridiculous.
But Vinny, the thing then is, we're supposed to, for us to be able to get along in a moral society, we have to restrain ourselves. We have to be able to restrain and say no to things. We have to teach children, no. Listen, you feel like you're a girl today? Well, we're going to get you some help because that's not normal. What's the response today? You feel like a girl today? Oh, well, let me get you a dress. But we teach them no restraint. Oh, you feel like you want to get you would like to get a dirty magazine, watch some porn and go over in the corner and masturbate? Oh, well, sure. Here's some good sites to check out. That's the way we operate. Oh, you want to eat? You're still hungry? You just ate a whole bunch more, but now you want 7 ice cream cones on top of it? Well, yeah, heck, go get it. We teach them no restraint, see? Because they don't understand they don't understand their makeup, the ability to make choices, and the empowering power of Christ available in their life. And I'm going to tell you the truth. For the most part, the average Christian cannot explain what I just explained. They can't explain it. They can't. They can't. Well, you just need Jesus, brother. Well, that's
true. They don't even read their Bibles, Coach. I mean,
they don't even read their Bibles.
They don't read the Bible. They don't.
So, Randy, I guess I can only write it off to this. Think a guy like you goes out there and gets arrested for spitting on a sidewalk. To think that today in Oklahoma, there wouldn't be 500 people out there in support of you. It's amazing. You see, we become so isolated that we're being taught that what affects you doesn't affect me. Like the killing of 60 million unborn babies doesn't affect us. Doesn't affect me. And how's that affect me? Well, it doesn't matter whether it affects you or not. It affects society. We don't kill people here. This is America. This isn't Iraq. We don't kill people. And as much as we oppose homosexuality and those who are trapped in it, we don't throw them off of roofs. Why? Because there's a Christian ethic that we have here. We have a Christian ethic. But so used to say this, that if you want to be a homosexual, it's a sin and you have to sneak and do it. Just like if you want to be a drug addict, it's a sin and you have to sneak and do it. We're not going to tell you that just because it feels good to you that we're going to make that the law. We're not going to be able to survive in a nation where everybody does whatever the heck they want to do. It does not operate that way. That's what we have to reestablish, the influence of Christianity in American culture. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. Somebody come on in. I got some stuff to share with us here today. Thanks to all the folks that are watching that before it's news. Appreciate you guys taking the time to give us a chance. Anybody? If not, I'm going to slide on to something else here. Okay, I'll slide on. We're building momentum, boys. We're building some momentum. Let me hang on. Thank you. Occupy 2019. I spoke to Russ Dizdar yesterday. Had a good conversation with Russ. He'd just gotten back from the event that Steve Quayle put on. Steve Quayle and David Lankford put on. He said there were about 600-700 people down there. We're not going to have that many. We're going to have a couple hundred probably. And yes, we still have tickets available. They're $49. Now I heard from about 5 people just in the last 24 hours who are coming haven't bought their tickets. Well, that's foolish. You can save $20. You buy your ticket now. $69 at the gate. It's $49 now. And one of the things that somebody told me is scaring people off is they don't know if they want to do anything. I'm not making it up. Remember the big picture I showed you, the big egghead, stick man? People are afraid. They're afraid. So we're going to try to get you there, and we're going to equip you. Hey, Jared, scroll down a little bit. I know I've done this 100 times. I'm going to do it one more time. John Diamond's going to do an appeal to heaven. You want to talk about our God is King, we have to appeal to him. Bradley Dean's making three presentations on what's going on in our schools and how we need to fight back and how they've been able to do it to us. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be powerful. Mark Trump's going to talk about probably artificial intelligence and social media and all that stuff and data. It's going to be a powerful thing. Tom Dunn's going to talk about child trafficking. Tom's a filmmaker. Not Cecil B. DeMille. Not some big filmmaker. You know why you don't hear it, Tom Dunn? Because he's out on the streets doing it. That's why you don't. He isn't sitting in CNN giving his opinion on everything like some of these other guys. He doesn't have some great big pulpit where he stands up, his hair's all poofed up, and his skinny jeans are on, sings praise and worship music, and everybody loves him. No, he's out in the streets getting it done. I spoke to Russ Dizdar yesterday three times. He's going to speak to us three times. And ministry opportunities about the demonic realm and how we, oh my goodness. Chad's going to coach us up on how to build a downline, build a little a brigade right where you live and how to, and folks, if we don't get together, if we think we're going to win this fight all by ourselves, Chad's going to show you how to try to find some people in your local area. David Arthur's going to talk about, the whole homo agenda and everything that's going on there. And they're after your children. They're trying to eat your children alive. Mike Spalding's going to help us make the pulpit great again and encourage our pastors. Mark Harrington's going to come and talk to us about abortion 101 and using the pig. This is going to be so remarkable. Mike Heath, now that we don't have Mike, going to speak to us about the fake pro-family movement, what's really going on there. We got so much stuff. Come on. Now, we're still going to live stream, and I heard from a couple of you yesterday. We're working out some bugs on that. Live streaming, you make a donation to Pass the Salt to go online, Coach Dave Live. Say, I would like to have the live stream. You just make whatever you can afford. You make an offering, and we'll get you connected. We'll give you the code so that you can get in and live stream it. We hope we don't have any problems with it. We've never done it before. We're going to try to do it. So if we have some glitches, I pray that you're going to give us some grace. But it's going to be a powerful event. Yeah, we're going to go to the streets a little bit on Sunday morning as well. So come on, man. Hotels. Remember, if you're going to get in that hotel there, you better tell them that it's you're part of Occupy 2019. And again, if you want the reduced housing place where you sleep in a bunk, bring your own sleeping bag, your own laundry, your own towels, all that stuff. We have that available for you for $25. So if you want to do that aspect, you got to let me know. Say, hey, coach, I'll take one of those bunk beds. Let me know, and we can set you up. Men, women, different dorms, shower. Got the whole things there. So we're doing the best we can to try to make this good for everybody. Cool. I'll shut up. No, I won't shut up. We'll move on. Anybody for the good of the group here? Satan's I wills. Yeah, I got some. Go to Facebook page. By the way, tomorrow here in Ohio, we're having the final vote tomorrow on the heartbeat bill here in Ohio. It's going to pass tomorrow. State legislature is going to pass it tomorrow. And I just pray that that you guys out there say, "What, coach, is there anything we can do?" Yeah, you can pray, because as you know, the devil likes to come in at the end and he likes to change amendments, they call it, make amendments to the bill. And there's still some fear that maybe they're going to try to do that to water down the heartbeat bill. And so, I hear people say, well, the heartbeat bill, if we're not going to save all babies, then we're not going to save any of them. Why is NARAL, National Abortion Right, whatever, why are they so upset if heartbeat bills don't matter? Why are they so mad? Man, they're kicking and screaming and scowling. They'll be there tomorrow. They're mad, man. Heartbeat bills up. What? Yeah, they're mad about it. What about our side? Well, we're mad too, right? Yeah. We got our own team fight. I'll show you here in a second. We got our own team fight. We have fighting within our own team. You ever watch a basketball game or a football game and see a shoving match break out with two guys on the same team? You ever seen that before? Have you ever seen one of those pro games where a football player's walking off the field and the coach says something to him? The guy stops and starts yelling back at the coach. I'm going to tell you something. That's bad when that happens. That is not good. That is not good when you get fighting like that within the team. But all you have to do is go to the abortion debate. What do you have? You go to, I'm going to show you here in a second. You go to Facebook pages and you got people who hate abortion fighting with each other. It's not just like religion, see, the special kind of religion. So Mark Trump puts up this meme. I said, we're crazy, aren't we? Throw it up here on the screen, Jared. Mark sent me this, so I put it up. This is a photo. This is a turtle egg. see that, folks? Those of you listening, of course, you can't.
Coach, I copied those pictures off of Google. This hit me this morning. I did that this morning when I woke up, but I pieced them together, you know?
There's a picture. Look at it. There's a turtle egg. And then down at the bottom, Jared, scroll on down, there's a baby. Right? Listen, folks, images like this are very, very powerful. But then Mark also included the law. The law against killing baby egg. Yep. Can you pull that up there, Jared? Right there. Are you ready, folks? Mark says the same men make laws governing turtle eggs. See, we're talking about ethics again, a standard, right? The same men who make laws governing turtle eggs that make laws for humans. Who do you think is more important, unborn turtles or unborn humans? Let's just stop right there, man. That's a good question. Which is more important, an unborn human or an unborn turtle? Tough choice. I'm gonna go with the people. So did you know this, that the law says this? The act states that no person may take, possess, disturb, mutilate, destroy, cause to be destroyed, sell, offer for sale, transfer, molest, I don't know how you do that, or harass any marine sea turtle or its nests or eggs at any time. Penalties for disturbing nesting sea turtles, including jail time and fines up to $15,000 for each offense. It's kind of a mic drop, isn't it? What is our law on human unborn? Would you rather see a turtle die or entire lineage of human beings die? Get off your butt, folks, and help save these little helpless people. Great post, Mark. Great post. That's it, isn't it? There's hypocrisy for us right in our faces. Why? Five I will. The five I wills, baby. The five I wills. I will be like God. I will arise. I will be. 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 I. My life, my body, my choice, my. I. Me. And see, it comes back what? There's no standard. No righteous standard. Never ever stood up. See, how about this one? I'll throw this one at you real quick. I made the young woman mad the other day. We were out, I don't know where it was, doesn't matter. And the two kids were fighting over a toy. We've all seen that happen before, right? Two kids fighting over the toy. And what does the mother say? Tommy, you share. Now, you share with him, Tommy. Hey, Tommy, you share. I watched this go on for about 30 seconds. Tommy wasn't sharing. Tommy had no desire to want to share because he's selfish by nature. And I just kind of leaned over and said, ma'am, why don't you teach the other child not to covet? Wow. You didn't know what to say to that one. Maybe Tommy wouldn't have to share if he wasn't coveting. Or maybe Tommy would share if he wasn't coveting. We don't teach that anymore, see? Don't teach it. So that's why we're in the mess we're in. Financially, everything. Covet. Share. What is communism? Share. What doesn't anybody say? Hey, those people coming across the border, and somebody stood at the border and says, thou shalt not covet. See, I hear all these Christians, people say, we have to bring them in. We have to love them. They ain't heavy. They're our brother. We're supposed to love them. Yeah, but they're not supposed to covet. Oh, boy, we need a standard in America, don't we?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Randy.
You know, they have a passion, people, the environmentalists, the animal rights people, they have a passion for a cause, but they have no compassion for a human life. There's a big difference. When we love our neighbor, Coach, that's compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Unborn babies, that is our neighbor. Those are people.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so that's the difference. There's no comparison with that, Coach.
No, there isn't, Randy. And so you go, you understand, Randy, I don't know if you've ever thought about this. When you go to the abortion clinic and you appeal for the life of that unborn child, do you know what you're trying to do? You're having a fight between the mother and the baby. Whose life's more important? That's the only debate. They're both alive. They're both human beings. But the big bully, the big mother, wants to be able to say to the little weak one, you're not important. I'm going to kill you. abortion is bullying, big people beating up on little people. That's all it is. And so we've reached a point in America where we agree with the mother that her life is more important than that baby. How do we reach that point, church? Other than, of course, we lost our moral footing. Now, Jared, pull up Elizabeth's email. I want to show you guys this because there are a lot of people rejoicing about, I haven't seen the movie Unplanned yet. I have not seen it. And I don't know how many of you are aware of the fact that there is infighting going on. Yes, yes. Infighting going on in the church as to whether or not we should support Unplanned because Abby Johnson says bad things about street ministers and Abby Johnson's not really a Christian and Abby Johnson's making all kinds of money and Abby Johnson this and Abby Johnson that and I don't know if I can support it when we know for a fact that this movie is changing the hearts of people who see it. The average person who walks in to see the movie Unplanned doesn't know the first thing about Abby Johnson, don't know the first thing about street ministry, don't know the first thing about an abortion clinic. They don't know the first thing about heartbeat bill. They don't know. Most of them don't know. Do you guys understand that? They don't know nothing about nothing. And yet the religious pro-lifers, they want to make sure when everybody goes in there that they know all of the boils and warts on the movie. Yeah, she makes fun of street ministers. Yeah, she makes all kinds of money. Yeah, she's not really pro-life. Yeah, she's not really safe. On and on and on it goes. Somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen, Coach.
With a heavy sigh, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Over and over and over and over. Well, Elizabeth Johnston,
amen.
The activist mommy, she posted this one. And I did it this way just because I didn't want to go to the Facebook page. And I didn't want you to see who the – I'm not trying to besmirch anyone. I love my brothers in the pro-life movement. I have friends. I have dear, dear, dear friends on both sides, the abolish human abortion people, the heartbeat bill. See, those two can't get along. They can't get along. It's like tongue talkers and Baptists. They can't get along. The abolitionists, they want abortion abolished. Can I tell you this? I don't know anybody who's for a heartbeat bill that doesn't want abortion abolished. But these people, they want to do it all at once. And these people say, well, I'm going to do a little bit at a time. They say, well, that's never worked. I said, and they don't understand momentum. They don't understand that right now there's a spirit of an awakening in America today. They don't understand right now today that if abortion, the heartbeat bill passes Ohio, then maybe Indiana will say, wow, let's do one too.
Hey, Coach.
And then, yeah.
You know, it's not that the ones that are for the heartbeat bill want to do it a little bit at a time. It's the ones that are for the heartbeat bill recognize that if you can't get it all at once, a little bit at a time is better than babies still dying.
I believe that's why the illegal immigration is, isn't it, Larry? Just a little bit of time coming over the border, just incrementalism. And now all of a sudden they're coming over the border. And now they're going for abolition. In other words, they're all coming now. They're not going to just trickle in anymore. They're all coming. Well, it happened as a process, didn't it? So Elizabeth Johnson said this in response to one of our abolitionist friends. I just thought this is really good. Here's what she said. With all due respect, and I believe she means it, she loves the brother she's writing this to, okay? I love them both. I love abolitionists. I love them all. I love anybody who's fighting for babies. I love them. I'm not their enemy. Elizabeth says, with all due respect, I think you and Steve are missing my point. I disagree with Abby on many things. Talking about Abby Johnson. This post mentioned nothing about agreeing with Abby. I simply said this movie is causing a conversation to be front and center that is rarely front and center in our culture. And critical Christians are missing this opportunity and are instead straining at gnats. You know very well that I am familiar with the arguments and intricacies of the issues, the methodologies, the controversies concerning this movie. Why mention them? Why point them out? Why focus on that when there is an opportunity to point people to sidewalk ministry? Something very few Christians know anything about. Who cares if Abby makes some money off of this? I don't care. What if babies live because of it? Who cares what Abby has said in the past that no one watching the movie knows anything about anyway? Just focus like a laser on raising up more sidewalk counselors and more laborers. This kind of strife looks very unbecoming on our brothers and sisters. And Chris, no one is riding the Abby Johnson train, and no one is jumping ship because they point out that this movie is a great opportunity to raise up more laborers. This kind of exaggerated rhetoric only proves my point, which was, we got to stop fighting together. Amen, Elizabeth. Amen. We're trying to figure out how to fumble when we're driving. We're driving the ball down the field, and we're trying to figure out some way we can fumble. Can't somebody get a penalty? Won't somebody throw a flag on us? We got to stop this drive. We got to stop this momentum. Won't some referees? He's holding. He's my lineman beside me. He's holding. We're trying to. It's like I can't even believe what goes on.
Hey, Coach, you know, it gets really grievous. Not, you know, if there's disagreements, do it behind closed doors. Have your private conversations. I'm totally fine with that. I hate that out in the front kind of stuff, and I'm very aware of it as you are. But, you know, it's even more heart-wrenching to me that I've encountered is that when I've gone with the personhood bill even to be undermined by those who said, oh, we're just going to stand on the side. We don't agree with it. So we're going to step aside and then come in and literally undermine us after we had our bill come out of house.
I could tell you, Dale, on and on and on and on and on. They want somebody to throw a flag. Now, see, they say, just so that you guys understand, the abolitionists say that incrementalism hasn't. That's what they said. Now, I want you to know this here in Ohio. You'd have to give credit to Janet Folger. Mark Harrington will talk about that probably this weekend at our event. 11 years she's been trying to get the heartbeat bill passed in Ohio. 11 years. 11 years. Now, it looks like there's going to be one passed in Ohio. Now, this Wednesday, it's going to be passed probably. You know there's 10 other states that are doing some form of it now? Can't you pull back and see that momentum is building? Took 11 years. We still haven't passed it. Try to get it to the point where we could pass it. And now 11 others are saying, wow, they're doing it. We're going to do it. We're going to. So I'm praying that the bill of abolition in Texas takes becomes law. They outlaw abortion again, because then Ohio will say, well, heck, if they can do it, we can do it.
You did see the testimony of that yesterday. You know, it went on till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
357 speakers, only four opposition speakers.
Wow. Hey, can I ask you something, folks? Somebody really give me an answer. Somebody help me out here. Serious. What's the big deal about abortion? Why can't men and women open their eyes and understand that it's a baby that's being murdered? Why can't five guys rise up and say, that's enough? We're not going to do that. They're put in place, aren't they? Isn't that their job? Can somebody help me?
Coach,
why they won't do what's right?
Money, 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 money. That's what it's all about.
Shame also, Coach. Shame, shame, shame. Because then what do we do with what we have done for the past 40 years? How do we justify this? Because we're not talking about slavery. We're talking about murder. And then the question is, do we now prosecute those who were involved in such wickedness?
Well, I would say, Dale, that we can't go back and prosecute, certainly. But from this point on,
I agree.
Certainly from this point on, we've codified evil into law.
How would the Dems get reparations on the dead?
Man, Mark, there you go.
Well, you know, Mark, I tell you what, the reason why they want open borders and all this other stuff is because the Democrats, as stupid as they are, the reason why they're losing their base is because they're killing their base off through abortion.
And Coach, you're also talking about behavioral decisions. As a therapist, I've had to sit there and literally look at mommies, tell me when they're going to go get their abortion because they refuse to control themselves. So these are behavioral decisions that get us all into these messes. But we all know that these abortions are used as birth control. But it's much better just to do as thou wilt. And it's painful to control yourself. Very few people are willing to push themselves through the pain of self-control.
We don't make them do it anymore either, Bobby. We don't make it. That's what my wife said. She says she goes into the elementary schools. It's chaos. Kids do whatever they want to do, right? Where did they learn that? We all know where they learned that. Jared, pull up Rusty's testimony. Got just 2 minutes here. There were so many people who wanted to testify in Texas yesterday that they limited them to 1 minute apiece. 300 and some people got 1 minute apiece to speak. And Rusty and his wife, Kendra, spoke on behalf of Jeremiah Thomas. And I just thought that in honor of them and in honor of Jeremiah, I thought it would be good if we heard this 3 minutes of this testimony. So Jared, go ahead and bring that up, bud. Thanks, Chad, for making this video, by the way.
Player, when he found out his sports injury was really a large malignant tumor in his chest. From the time we found out that he had cancer to the time the Lord took him home, we had 224,780 minutes with him, and every minute was precious. He lost the use of his legs, his dream of playing football, his plans for missions and a future in the ministry. But he did not lose his faith in his Lord Jesus Christ. When he learned he'd never walk again, he told his dad, "I can still preach from a wheelchair." And he did. He preached from his wheelchair outside of Planned Parenthood, at churches and youth groups, using his social media accounts. On Jeremiah was paralyzed on chemo, was dying and in pain, but he spent the last of his life abolishing abortion because he knew Jesus came to give life, to abolish sin and death. Make-A-Wish contacted our son, and while Jeremiah was in excruciating pain, his wish was for others to live. Jeremiah's dying wish was to abolish abortion in Texas. Governor Abbott graciously called Jeremiah while he was in the hospital. Jeremiah asked him to abolish abortion, and Governor Abbott said, "Your wish is granted. This is the bill. This is the bill Jeremiah wished for. Please grant Jeremiah's dying wish and support HB 896. Thank you."
They're just trying to get it out of committee. These people aren't going to pass it. They just can't even vote yes to get it to everybody to discuss it.
Thanks for going the extra mile, committee. You guys are champs. My name is Rusty Thomas. I'm Jeremiah's dad. I'm representing my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm his ambassador. And I guess I'm representing myself in Operation Save America. Just a few comments. We know the law is not just punitive in nature. The law is also a teacher. And the question we have to ask is, what has Roe versus Wade taught an entire generation? The message is clear. If you have a problem you can't handle, murder it. And our culture has learned that lesson very, very well. It is also taught the problem is the baby in the womb who is made in the image of God rather than the sexual immorality abortion enables. For those of you who are familiar with the Bible, you know King David committed a horrible sin, a horrible crime. He committed adultery, and he thought the solution to the problem was murder. It didn't work for King David. And it will not work for the United States of America, nor the state of Texas. Our nation has made a covenant with death and has produced a culture of death that is savaging this generation. HB 896 will end this Holocaust in the state of Texas. It will establish justice that God Almighty demands. And it will begin to cleanse our defiled state that has committed child sacrifice in the shedding of innocent blood. I call upon this committee to fear God rather than the Supreme Court and do your duty, which is to protect life and stop the shedding of innocent blood. You are not to hold the sword of justice in vain. You are called God's minister, and your duty is to punish the evildoer as God has defined evil, and protect those who are good in God's sight as God has defined good. So I ask you to make sure this bill sees the light of day. Do your duty. That is your job. And trust God for the results. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Okay, Jared, you can stop that. Folks, I want you to, you need to go back and listen to this, because this is 1 minute of the gospel without the gospel. Don't miss what I just said there. This is, Rusty gives them a minute of the gospel without preaching the gospel. Go ahead, Dale.
No, can Jared put that link in there? Because it was hard finding some of the stuff even to watch this night. I had to jump around different places.
Yeah, but it's in the link. Now, folks, listen, it comes back to what I said. Rusty did not go in there and quote the Bible and read from the Bible, and God said this. He talked about their duty as magistrates, right and wrong. This is wrong. We know it's wrong. Here's the consequences in our culture and our society. That is preaching the gospel without using the gospel. Somebody come on in.
Amen, Coach. I told the very same thing to one of the guys I was at the abortion clinic with Saturday, and he looked at me like, no, you can't do that. You got to tell about Jesus. And I said, well, let's win the truth battle, and then the door's wide open. Tell him about Jesus, bro. He goes, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. I said, why not? That's where they're at, Coach.
Well, how about this? You don't have any idea how many listened to Rusty because he didn't say Jesus. They didn't go la 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 la. He made a moral argument. Now listen, everyone sitting on that camp on that everyone of those elected officials has some system of a moral conscience, so they wouldn't be up there. So Rusty appealed to their morality without pounding them with Jesus. Does somebody think I'm missing it here? Somebody,
you know, it's wicked there, brother, is that Representative Litch, who sits as the chairman on that committee, who was a co-author on it last year, refuses to sign it this year. Something smells there.
Something co-author last year and won't sign it this year, huh? Something smells there, doesn't it? And again, they're just trying to get
money.
They're trying to get it out of committee. They're not going to vote that this committee's not going to vote and criminalize abortion. They're going to get it into the open debate. We can't even get it into open debate, folks. Mark, they'll talk about turtles,
right?
We can't even have an open debate on this. They'll talk about all kinds of things. Needles. We need needles for drug addicts. All kinds of stuff. But they won't even let us have a debate on this issue. We can't even have a debate. Well, they're feeling some pressure today, boys. Because I believe, as I've been trying to tell you, momentum is building like I have never seen it. Momentum is building. Abortion is going down. Going down. And the way that it's going to go down is the church awakens and gets involved and gets out and does something about it. Listen, maybe it was Mark, maybe it was Randy. One of them said, listen, it's the truth, right? Average people, they don't care. They're just going about their lives. We have to make them uncomfortable. We have to show them the pictures. Unplanned. I haven't been to it. Maybe some of you have. People walk out of that movie, they're crying. I heard people said they cried all throughout it because they saw what was going on. And we won't get five people in Texas to let us have a debate about it. Somebody come on in.
The media won't show that, Coach. So if a movie, we have to make a movie to show it. And why block it? I mean, I don't care what Abby Johnson believes. They're just telling her story, right or wrong. At least it shows it for what it is. That's the whole point.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Coach, it's about ignorance. It's about my ignorance of what abortion was.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Once I became aware of what it is, it is just, and I've, you know, I've spent my life raising other people's kids. I've raised 8 children, none of my biology.
I don't mean to laugh. Yeah.
And coach, I think when this abortion thing starts to go down and we start winning, then this is the pinnacle of the left. When that begins to collapse, as time goes by, as year by years go by, you're going to have a continued restructuring of society. And I think it's going to swing back in many ways to the way it was, because it's going to force the arguments in every spectrum, be it the classroom, the home dinner table. So you're basically, the left is going to be beaten to hell with that one major mega issue. And as the years go by, you're going to have the conservative right-wing way of thinking swinging. The pendulum is going to come back around, I believe.
Amen. 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 Now, listen, here's what I think is important. Because there's some debate and some controversy about this. If I can convince somebody that abortion is wrong, if ultimately they don't come to Christ, it really hasn't done them very much good, right? But if I can get them to agree abortion is wrong, then perhaps I can convince them to come to Christ. See, the law is the schoolmaster, right? Abortion is wrong. Why is abortion wrong? And so we explain to them why abortion is wrong, and they begin to get it and understand. And then we were able to say, well, see, that's what this whole debate is about. Everybody can't do whatever they want to do. We have to have some rules and regulations and standards in this country. And where have the standards come from? What are our standards built upon? And then it leads into law and grace and Christ. We can't lead with Christ. I'm sorry. We can't lead with it. He is truth. You lead with truth. He's in it. He's in the midst of that truth. We have to tear down strongholds. Isn't that what the Bible says? Casting down imaginations, breaking strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is somebody who hates religion. They hate it. We have to break that stronghold. We have to cast down imaginations. We have to tear things down. Then offer the gospel.
Amen. It's all about logos, coach. It's all about logos. It's all about
logos.
Using morality is like using a 16-ounce hammer, and using the truth of Jesus Christ is like using a 4-pound sledge. You just got to start with a little bit lighter tap and start breaking that foundation down.
So, Kevin, we just have to ask him, why does every baby have a right to live? Why? Well,
you're nailing it, because all we have to do is to get them to begin to think. Many people think that all of a sudden, when I come and tell you, you're supposed to automatically become this theologian and understand everything. No, we're supposed to take them along. It's part of the discipleship process.
Amen.
Just like the children, you begin to teach them what is right and what is wrong. They don't get it all in a day.
And no, so we say to one of these guys, say, well, listen, you believe murder's wrong? Yeah, I believe that. Well, why? Why is murder wrong? Is murder wrong just because some people voted it was wrong? Where'd the idea that murder was wrong come from? Well, Betty, where did that come from? Well, Harold, I think that came right out of the Ten Commandments. I think, the Ten Commandments, yeah. Well, what were the Ten Commandments about? Well, the Ten Commandments were about defining a standard of right and wrong. Murder's wrong. Why is murder wrong? Just because you and I voted and said it's wrong? No, murder's wrong because God said it wrong. You think God? Do you believe in God? Don't you see where it goes? You can't live with the gospel. Come on in. Somebody tried to come in.
Hey, coach, you know, it's taken years and years to program the masses that abortion is okay, right? So why do we think it wouldn't take a good long while to program the other way? And so there's so many tools we as Christians can use, and it's so narrow to think these people that are abolitionists. I think we need to challenge them and get them to think that that, yeah, we would love to end it in one day. But you know what? We didn't get in this mess overnight. We're probably not going to get out of it overnight.
Yeah, like a Baptist in tongue talking. You're not going to, I don't know, George. Yep.
You know what's so sad is, how come about 10,000 Christians haven't went down to the courthouse, wherever they're at down there, that government building? Why aren't they just down there praying? Where's just about 10,000? I mean, with all the millions of people down there, there's not 10,000, sure enough, salt and light folks to go down there. The Lord said, go pray. Why ain't they about 10,000 down there praying? You wouldn't see CNN. Nobody would cover that, brother.
No, but you know who would see it, buddy? The ones that got to pull the trigger and vote yes or no, right? They'd see it.
Amen. Hey, when you get that many people praying, Coach, God's going to move.
Well, he is, but you know why they're not? First of all, there's no clear call to do it. There's no clear call. There's no Christian.
I'm going to tell you why. Because they believe in Jesus Christ, but they're not. He's not Lord of their life. That's the difference. Yep. They're not being led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Coach, this is Joe from Augusta, Georgia.
Hey, Joe.
I don't know if, like yesterday, if it was just because we're down here in the South, but 80% of our abortion people that come in there are black.
Right.
And we fight with being called racist every hour.
Yep. Yep.
And, I know, and we tell them, I said, we're here to fight for your child. How are we racist? And that's what we get.
You know, Joe, when we were at the clinic about a year ago, well, a couple of years ago, when Black Lives Matter was a big deal, you guys all remember that, right? That slogan. I held a sign at the abortion clinic that said, Black Babies Matter. Boy, did they get mad, calling me a racist and stuff. Well, you're just saying black babies aren't being killed. I mean, you can't reason with the unreasonable. That's really where we are. Hey, listen, we're winding down here. I was going to have Lowell do a presentation tomorrow. Lowell, we'll get to you tomorrow on just war principles and proper authority, because that's really, this is what the whole thing comes back to. Listen, Supreme Court of the United States, they don't have the authority. They don't have the authority to give the right to kill a baby. They don't have that authority. Folks, they don't have it. And they've been able to get away with it because those of us who carry the authority, all power has been given unto us, both in heaven and earth, right? We're a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We've willingly yielded our authority, our God-given authority, to civil magistrates that are godless. And that's what, whether you want to admit it or not, that's what Jesus' whole battle was about. They said, well, Jesus didn't come carrying guns and fighting war. Well, I suppose that's true. But you do know who he rebelled against, right? He rebelled against the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious system. This makes people nervous. Christianity was birthed out of rebellion, but it wasn't birthed out of rebellion. It was birthed out of obedience. Jesus came and called them to obedience. And obedience appears to be rebellion. Huh? That's good, isn't it? And so we bought into that lie. The government is disobedient. We are calling them to obedience. They are the ones who are in rebellion. The courts and the legislators that are continuing to allow young children to be murdered, they are in rebellion. They're rebelling against our system, our governmental system, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They're in rebellion against Almighty God. They're in rebellion against the laws of nature and of nature's God. We are not the ones that are in rebellion. We are the ones who are calling them to account for their rebellion, which is exactly what Christ did. Boy, have we got some exciting times ahead of us. Man, God bless you. See you tomorrow.